Wayne has a special Wayne's top 10 for 2020. And you know it's going to be a quality list. So, Wayne, without much further ado, how are you?
I'm good, Willie. I hope I can live up to that build-up.
Each week, it gets better and better, doesn't it?
It does.
Now, this is your last show for 2020. You are going to take a break, a well-deserved break.
Yeah, just for, I don't know, see how it goes, but certainly over the Christmas period and coming back sometime in January, hopefully.
Perfect. And okay, so we're doing your top 10 list, and I'm interested, how did you score things? Like, how do you decide? Is it by, like, enjoyment? Is it by art houseness? Is it by...
Look, I've always think the enjoyment factor is for everyone interprets art differently.
Yep.
For me, the enjoyment factor is a multitude of things. But, I mean, I guess there's the pure how much fun I'm having this. But then there's some things that I love that aren't, you would say, are fun. So it's the artistic merit, I guess, the quality of it, the especially if it's a film, the design, the screenplay, the direction, the acting. So it's a number
kind
of things.
An overall greatness scale.
Yeah. And ultimately, it's incredibly subjective, incredibly personal. I think that's how art, you know, should be. And
absolutely.
Definitely to every single person.
Yep. Okay, wonderful. And we're going to count down from 10 to one, and from 10 through to two, we're just going to say what it is with a couple of with a little bit of description, and then for number one, we're going to have a bit of a deep dive.
Yes, that's the plan.
Perfect. All right, let's start at number 10. What kicks off the list for Wayne's top 10 entertainment?
Well, that's all right. So I'm going to start with TV first, which obviously a lot of people have consumed this year through lockdowns and so forth. And there's a lot out there. And just by preface that, there's a few shows that I haven't sort of caught up yet. Fargo, Lovecraft Country, and The Good Lord Bird, amongst some that I know are highly acclaimed, but I just haven't got around to them. And I'd also like to say that the following shows, The Great, Pen 15, and Rami, are all shows I absolutely loved, but they just couldn't fit in. But
I missed the list.
Yes, but I just wanted to give them a little shout-out because they're all wonderful. So, 10, Perry Mason. This is on Foxtel, a reboot of the classic detective series. At number 9, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, also on Foxtel, a great documentary about the Golden State Killer. At number 8, I Know This Much is True, also on Foxtel, emotionally gut-wrenching drama about twin brothers with schizophrenia. At number 7, The Plot Against America, also on Foxtel, a Philip Roth adaptation about the dangers of fascism. Number 6, The Queen's Gambit on Netflix, which everyone seemed to love, the great engrossing drama about a chess prodigy. At number 5, Better Things, also on Foxtel, a superb drama about motherhood and womanhood. Number 4, The Outsider on Foxtel also. This came in early back in January, an eerie adaptation of a Stephen King novel. At number 3, I May Destroy You on Foxtel as well, a flawless drama about sexual consent. I think it blew everyone away, that show. At number 2, Mrs. America, also on Foxtel, an amazing cast of incredible women, about the ERA movement in the 1970s. Almost flawless, this show. So it was well deserved at 2.
Drum roll, please.
Number 1, and this was never in doubt for me, the best thing on TV, Better Call Saul.
Yes, I do remember you talking about that one. Okay.
And on Stan, season 5 of this incredible drama, a prequel to Breaking Bad. You didn't really have to have watched Breaking Bad to enjoy it, but it does help. This is just flawless acting and writing. The drama in every single scene is there. It's a slow burn, but the payoff is so great. The characters are so great. Bob Odenkirk, Rhea Seehorn are just wonderful. And the episode Bagman, which is episode 8, is probably the best episode of TV I've seen this year.
Wow.
This is the one that stands out, and that was a quality top 10, I think it was. But this show just had it all. There's one more season to come to wrap it all up. So I can't wait for that. But Better Call Saul is my number one TV show of 2020.
I love it. Okay, Better Call Saul. It's Stan. We're up to season 5.
Yes.
Are they, again, just refresh my memory, hour-long episodes or half-hour?
Yeah, hour-long, or sort of in that 45 to 50-minute range.
Yeah.
And I think there was 10 episodes in the season 5. So if you haven't seen any of it, it's probably going to take a while to get through. But if you have seen it, I hope you have enjoyed as much as I did.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Okay, thank you so much for that, Wayne. All right. What about, so, what's the next list?
Albums, music, my absolute probably love in life. Again, a bit of a different year, bands not being able to tour for most of the year, a lot of albums, some being delayed, some coming out surprisingly, but still music won in the end. So again, I just want a quick shout out to a couple of albums I did love, Dogleg, Lamelda, Run the Jewels, and Phoebe Bridges were all wonderful albums that just didn't make my top 10. But these are the ones that did. 10, Muzz, a self-titled album called Muzz, the debut album by the three-piece supergroup. Number 9, American Head by the Flaming Lips. After over 30 years of making music, they still deliver.
They're nice.
Still as vital as ever, the great Flaming Lips from Oklahoma. Number 8, Welcome to Conceptual Beach by Young Jesus, an amazing album, rock, but going experimental, just wonderful music. At number 7, The Loves of Your Life by Hamilton Lighthouser, the ex-Walkman singer, soulful, expansive, gorgeous album. Number 6, Sundowner by Kevin Morby. Morby is one of my favourite songwriters in the world, and this is another beautiful album set in Kansas and just a gorgeous, beautiful album. 5, Shore by Fleet Foxes. Came out of nowhere and just sublime. Their great history of pastoral, sunny folk rock. No one really does it better. Number 4, Thin Mind by Wolf Parade. One of my all-time favourite bands from Canada are back with another great album. Came back in January, but I still love it. Number 3, Have We Met by Destroyer, also came out in January, also a great Canadian artist, a great songwriter. Number 2, and this could have been one because it's perfection, Saint Cloud by Waxahachie. Every song is beautiful. I can't fault it. There's no skipping on these tracks. It's just perfect country folk from Katie Crutchfield. And
number one
is, good drum roll, is Making a Door Less Open by Car Seat Headrest. This was the much-anticipated follow-up to the remarkable Teens of Denial from the great Will Toledo. Now, it divided a lot of people. There were such huge expectations. Some people didn't like it. Some people loved it. I can see it's not a flawless album, but the highs on this are so high. It's just really great indie rock. I think it's a bit of an experimental album for Will Toledo. Just wanted to do something different. And that's why I think it divided people. But it's the album I've played the most in this year. My Spotify list proved it. So,
your Spotify list. Yes.
Yeah, so this one, I would just say it's my favourite album. I can't categorically say it's the best album this year.
Yeah.
But it's my favourite. It's the one I played the most.
I love it. I love it. Oh, Wayne. Okay, so good. All right. Film. Top 10 film.
Yes, that's it. Film. Again, a bit of a spotty year, a lot of big films being delayed to next year, a lot of films going straight to streaming, Netflix really getting some big, big bangers, but still a lot of really good stuff this year. So there was a couple of films, just finding my list.
That's all right.
A couple of films I did love that didn't quite make it, but I really recommend Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, The Assistant, Dark Waters. They're all great films. But they just didn't quite make the list.
Didn't make the top 10 list. Okay.
Top 10. So this is a mixture. Some of these were actually released in overseas last year, but they were released here this year. So 10, For Sama, a gut-wrenching documentary about the troubles in Syria. 9, Beanpole. This mightn't have been seen by a lot, but a Russian masterpiece about World War II and the rebuilding. Beautiful film. 8, The Trial of the Chicago 7. It's a Netflix film.
That was a good one.
The latest from Aaron Sorkin, a superb courtroom drama. I saw it at the cinema and I watched it again at home, so I did love this one. 7, The Last Black Man in San Francisco. This is just an epically beautiful tale about race in San Francisco. It only got a small cinema release, probably escaped a lot of people, but great film. 6, Little Women. Came out a long time ago now, back in January, but just a perfect remake of the classic from Greta Gerwig. 5, Sound of Metal, which I think I spoke last week.
Oh, you did. Yes, you spoke about that last week. It's on the list for my husband and I to watch.
Yeah, so wonderful film. Just came out a couple of weeks ago on Prime. Emotionally perfect, and Riz Ahmed is just stunning as a drummer who loses his hearing. 4, I'm Thinking of Ending Things, another Netflix film from the great Charlie Kaufman, adapted from a book. It's strange, it's wonderful, it's bizarre. It's not for everyone, but I love it. 3, Mank, another Netflix film from the great David Fincher about the great playwright who wrote Citizen Kane. 2, A Hidden Life, again a film that came out beginning of this year, the latest from the great master Terrence Malick, a 3-hour epic about the World War II and a priest who doesn't want to partake in the war. Malick is like no one else, and this is a superb film. And 1, a film that I saw, I think, in the very first week of January this year, but it stayed my 1, 1917, the latest film.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it should have won Best Picture, although I do love Parasite, so I don't have an issue with Parasite. But this film from Sam Mendes, which is done as a one-shot film, even though it's not one-shot, but it's made to look like a one-shot film, about two soldiers in World War I who have to relay a message and have to go through amazing travails to get there, otherwise a whole battalion will lose their lives. I was on the edge of my seat.
I was going to say, I'm starting to tense up just even you like thinking about the film again, like the sense of urgency and.
I was captivated, and just the technical achievements amazing, but I think the drama of it is just in every single scene. And by the end, I was like emotionally exhausted.
I was going to say, were you exhausted?
But invigorated and. As I said, this one came out right at the beginning of this year. I think you can sort of catch it everywhere now on DVD or et cetera.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful film and ends up being my favourite film I saw this year.
Oh, Wayne, that is an epic list. We're going to put all of those on the 2SER website. People can tune back into this again if they missed anything. Thank you, Wayne, for all of your entertainment guru guidance. We truly.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure.
I know that we.
Next year I can review some more live music next year.
Yes.
And get out more and do that sort of thing. But I guess this music and film and TV at least made the year a bit easier.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, Wayne, you have a fabulous end to 2020. Thank you for all your hard work, and we will see you in 2021.
Sounds great, Willie. Have a great Christmas.
You too. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.